This podcast is a Kitty Wing production.
Do you have an intro theme song for this song? You do.
Yeah.
So you're playing the accordion?
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm glad you're a fan.
Well, it's been a while since I've done one of these.
Welcome to Let's Make a Podcast with Muhammad T. Joma and friends. I'm your host, Muhammad T. Joma. I'm joined by my best friend in the whole wide world, Remington Swales. Welcome back, Remy.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too.
Still take umbrage with that.
With what? That you're my best friend?
In the whole wide world, yes.
In the whole wide world. I'm Muhammad. I'm the host here. I love, if you haven't listened to this podcast before, I love podcasts. Big fan of podcasts, listen to a lot of them. I always have different ideas. I've had different ideas for podcasts over the years. I also am one to have ideas for things and not follow through with them. Remy, you know that about me probably. Yeah. And here on Let's Make a Podcast, we embrace that. We embrace the sort of...
procrastination.
And the fleeting nature of ideas. 1 month they're here, and the next month you forgot all about them, and you're on to the next thing. Without having produced anything, so here we do podcast pilots, if you will, where every episode I have a guest on who pitches me a podcast idea, and then we record sort of a pilot of sorts in which my guest will be the host and I will be the guest. Sometimes we have a second guest as well.
So we're trying to create more and consume less.
It could create more. I still consume a shitload. And speaking of consumption. You have a food-based podcast.
Right, so hopefully we can tie those two things together, where we can create something while consuming something.
Yeah.
So my idea, is to do something food-based, but I'm not a chef. I mean, you do some cooking and stuff. I've seen a lot of
I cook a lot, actually,
Instagram posts?
I put a lot of my baking up on Insta.
So I mean, you've been doing good in the kitchen, and I think cooking is a very admirable skill to have, and I don't do it nearly as much as I would like. However, I do love food. I do love eating, and
you're a foodie of sorts. I mean, it's a derogatory term. But.
Well, it's hard for me to embrace that term because I don't know a lot of like food history and stuff like the origins of certain culinary dishes or a lot of techniques for making food.
I would say I'm on the
super high end
opposite side. I don't consider myself a foodie either, but I cook a lot. Like you said, I cook just about every night, but we don't go out a lot. So I don't try all these sort of hip restaurants and stuff like a lot of people do. So I always feel
I do go out and try a lot of places.
You try a lot of places. You're constantly telling me about new restaurants you've been to and stuff. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I guess one of my, I don't know if that's a good quality or not, but I do go out to eat a lot. You know, I have a lot of work lunches and things. And so I really like to try kind of newer places I've been to, local little hole-in-the-wall places, unique locally owned places. And so I think what we're going to do today to try and kind of rope all that into one semi-interesting podcast hosted by two people who have no real credentials within food is to go to a food hall or like a food market, what is essentially a glorified food court.
Right.
Because in the city of Atlanta here where we do this podcast, it's one of those things where we have a lot of old factory buildings and stuff that in the last couple of years they've started renovating some of these spaces and turning them into food halls or food markets and stuff.
Sort of live, work, play areas.
Yeah, so they try to create a central area with a lot of food options, but local kind of more unique food options as opposed to Dairy Queen, Chick-fil-A, Subway, Del Taco, Great Wraps.
Right.
Orange Julius.
Yeah, the chains are sort of on the outs, at least here in Atlanta, and as far as new places being built.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're definitely focusing a lot more on kind of locally owned type businesses and stuff.
Sure. So, although I will say in these food market sort of places, a lot of them are like second locations of sort of an original smaller place that started to work here in the city.
I mean, a lot of them definitely have more than one location for sure. Right. But to the best of my knowledge, a lot of them are local places.
Locally owned and run. Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, it's a place that might have three or four locations in the city, if that. But this is kind of their thing, is to, like, have these food stalls. So it's a more economic option for kind of restaurants that are starting up and things to be in these smaller spaces as opposed to having their own brick and mortar.
Right.
Opponed.
Opponed.
I'm opponed to that,
You see a lot of these places that open up, like I was saying, sort of their second location or whatever in these food halls, and it does sort of boost them. I think it's probably a little bit cheaper than buying a building.
Right.
And it definitely spreads them to a lot of more people. I mean, I feel like most of those places I would try, and then I would be like, oh, they have a restaurant that's been there for 3 years over on this side of town or whatever, 4 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I've seen a lot of, you know, places that were like that kind of go on to get their own buildings and stuff, their own brick and mortar.
Sure, yeah.
And stuff. And I mean, we can chat about some of that as we're there looking around at some of the places. Just, but I mean, like I said, the food culture here in Atlanta is very good. I like it a lot. I'm not at all qualified to really get into the specifics well, of Remy, what makes good food.
We're not, on Let's Make a Podcast, we're not qualified to do any of the things that we exactly. do. So.
Exactly. So that's why we're going to take this in stride, one plate at a time, and go check out Krog Street Market today.
Are we going to be so reviewing the food or the hall, do you think? Or?
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of a combination thing where I think we go in there, we talk about the space like while looking at all the restaurants, because there's several kind of larger restaurants and then a lot of smaller stalls, so to speak. And so I think we'll go in, have a look around at the space, the options and things, because you're vegetarian, I'm not.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
I eat fish, seafood sometimes.
Oh, okay. So you're a fishy vegetarian.
Yeah. So mostly vegetarian, I'd say.
You get a lot more options and stuff with these kind of food hall options.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of those things that often these sort of... I mean, most of the time, wherever we go, there's pretty good vegetarian options, but there are some of these sort of like hip opening places opening up that you're kind of like, well, I can't really ever, you know, Hot Chicken was one a few years ago that right. got real big, and yeah. I was just like, well, I can't ever go to any
it's
of those.
It's tough to go to a place there. That's noted for its meat dishes.
Sure, I mean,
and to get like a salad.
Yeah,
like okay, what's it the doesn't point of even it's coming
not,
here for that?
Yeah, that's not what they. Do so
exactly.
like you're just kind of
supposed to be good
yeah at. You can't really judge them by that for the most part, but
right.
but yeah, you're right, these food markets there usually are many more options where I can kind of
exactly so I think we go in, we'll talk about the space, talk about what's there, what options we've got, what looks good, and then we'll get some food, try it, and kind of give our thoughts on it.
Totally.
So now my biggest question mark at this point, besides what we're going to get to eat, is what would I name this podcast idea?
Oh, you don't have a title.
No.
My favorite part.
So I was thinking, I mean, you could call it Foods in the Hall. But I don't think we're that funny to where we can play off Kids in the Hall.
Yeah. Although I do like a good pun or play on words.
Call it In the Market for Food.
Yeah. Eaten with Remy Swalls.
No, I don't like that at all. 100%. No.
Eating ain't cheating with Remy Swalls.
Eating ain't cheating.
Eating out with Remington Swales.
No, definitely not.
Nope.
Also, you are 0 for 3 at this point.
All mine are kind of in the same territory. Yeah. So.
Have no real relevance, except for a pun.
Yeah.
Oh, I want some of this water.
You can have some right out of my bottle, or if you want, I could pour you some real quick. No, go for it.
We're friends, right?
Yeah, we're friends.
Best friends?
Yeah.
In the whole wide world?
In the whole wide world, baby. Oh, he's using his tongue so much.
That's not how you drink water?
not how I drink water. Drink water with Remington Swales.
Yeah, because I was trying to think it's something like, I mean, it could be called just glorified food court.
Yeah. Although that feels like we're judging it in a way that I don't really feel. I mean, it is a glorified food court, but that sounds a little mean.
Right.
For a thing that I think we both enjoy.
Yeah, well, because I wanted the title, right, is to have something not as pretentious
right.
as this may seem being a foodie-ish
sure.
podcast.
Sure.
So something to illustrate the idea that we are rubes and have no real qualification to be judging food, but we like food, and this is just our opinion of it.
Yeah.
So
we're foodie children.
Yeah.
I like Foods in the Hall, but, you know.
Okay, we'll call it Foods in the Hall.
Hey!
That was my first idea.
All right, well, cool. So we'll take a break, and here's what we're going to do. We didn't quite say it, but we're going to actually take our podcasting. We're kind of mobile today. We're going to take it with us, and we're going to record this episode of Food in the Hall. We're in my usual space right now, but we're going to record this live from the location, which we're going to Krog Street Market, we decided. So we're going to record this live from Krog Street Market as we kind of pick out our food and sit down and enjoy a meal together. And we'll just talk about the food and talk about, we have meals together periodically, so this is nothing new for us, and we're just going to be recording it this time.
Yeah.
Cool.
Slightly more focused conversation.
Yeah,
less random topics than we normally discuss.
Yeah, we usually tackle some pointless and interesting topics when we...
Supremely pointless, but also immensely important.
Yeah.
We discuss race, politics.
Yeah, and probably religion, the least responsible way of discussing those things. Usually relating it some way to some movie that we watched. Or
exactly.
Something.
Or a TV show. Or
right.
In this case, Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah. Podcast. All right, so we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the road.
Onto Kronk Street
Market. Onto Kronk Street Market, yeah, for Foods in the Hall with it. Remington Swales.
No, don't add my name.
I
to it.
Love
just,
it.
No.
And friends.
No.
We'll be right back with Foods in the Hall with Remington Swales and Friends. I hear me.
Good. So let's start this endeavor.
Yeah.
Foods in the Hall.
Foods in the Hall. Oh, I guess you should intro.
I think that's going to be the intro.
Okay.
Our door shuts. We get out, start walking in.
Did I lock it?
I don't know.
I'm glad we found a parking spot in the parking lot.
Pat.
I know. Which is pretty unusual for Kronk Street Market. Even on a weekday.
Okay, so while we've got a short walk here to the front entrance, let's have a bit of a discussion about the history of Kronk Street Market.
Okay.
I pulled up the Wikipedia page since I've done ample research.
Nice.
Obviously. So... According to Wikipedia, I don't know why. I'm sure they have a sign here that tells you like what Kronk Street used to be.
Smell like shit right here.
Yeah.
I don't know why? I mean, smells like a sewer.
Sewage.
Yeah.
So Kronk Street Market is a 9-acre mixed-use development on the Beltline. Blah blah blah. That's 12,000 square feet. It's one of the best food halls in the country.
says a guy walking right by us.
Oh,
really?
This is my inspiration.
Oh.
I love it, man. I went to food halls probably all over the country when I was looking for places to go, and this one's...
So, what makes this one different than some of the other food halls around?
It's warmer and approachable. It's not too kind of corporate, you know, industrial feeling.
Very casual atmosphere.
Very
here.
Casual. It's got the selection of food is ridiculous.
Yeah. And it feels friendly and
very friendly. Yeah. And it's kind of hopping on the weekends, so they're able to have kind of a nightlife vibe too, which is hard for a lot of food halls to pull that off. People come in here not watch games, but just come in here and hang out together.
Well, because you've got the beer bar here and stuff, so you can come here and get beers and things.
But right when you walk in, there's a bar.
And go, like, get seated. Thing. High-end, like, dining, as well as just food stalls and stuff. You also work out.
We've got a Ford Fry restaurant in here, which is probably top chef in the city.
Oh, yeah.
With everything he has, Marcel and all these stuff.
St. Cecilia's and stuff, right?
All those. Yeah, I love this place.
He's a good
trip. So
cool.
When I'm in town, I swing in.
Swing on by.
So we're just checking out some of the food hall stuff today.
Thanks, man.
Have a good one.
Thanks. That's a glowing endorsement.
That's a guy who builds food halls that we just happen to run into on our food hall podcast.
So, I mean, this... I was in the middle of saying what it used to be, right? Which I don't know if the Wikipedia page says that.
Yeah, it's definitely some sort of factory. It's a big open space when you walk in.
Yeah.
It's very pretty, very hip.
Very, like, kind of high ceilings and stuff.
Yeah, very open, even though there's a lot of restaurants all over the place. It's very open. Like I was saying, there's a bar that right when you walk in. You mentioned that.
Okay, so going through here, we've got a bake shop. We've got a...
Yeah, Little Tart Bake Shop is one of my favorites.
Richard's Southern Fried. Plus, you've got some goods in here. Some
little shops. Little soap shop.
This place smells so good.
The soap shop.
Yeah,
it smells amazing.
So good.
Yeah. If you're into artisan soaps, there's a little pet store here.
Yeah.
Definitely all small business sort of.
Nice chocolatier.
Like, it's weird when I think about it sometimes calling these places those small businesses because they obviously are very... successful and have a lot of money, or right. else they wouldn't be in here.
It's not cheap to be in this place. But yeah. I mean, so far, you can get dumplings, fried chicken, sushi, cannolis,
pizza.
Pizza.
Veruni Napoli here, one of the better.
Where did they put this in?
I don't know, actually. This is the first time I saw it, but it's one of the
that is kind of one
better
of the,
pizza places in Atlanta, arguably the best, a
I
lot of people
think.
I think
that's kind of one of the things about these places is that, like a lot of places in the city where you have turnover, you get a lot of stuff here where, because they're small food stalls, that they'll kind of switch out
right.
periodically.
Which is, you know, which is cool. It's cool that, like, you walk in, there's a new stuff every time.
Well, if someone outgrows their space.
Right.
But then
there's a weird, like, tiki bar here, it looks like.
This is Ticonderoga Park.
I don't know it.
So it's like a fancy restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Place, wow.
But I think
prices.
They only do dinners and stuff. And we're here at lunchtime.
We're here at lunch. There's a sign that says open late. And it's got kind of a, I mean, I guess maybe not a tiki bar vibe, but like a.
I mean, it's a swanky cocktail bar, I think.
Swanky bar vibe. Yeah, for sure.
It's got a
there's
little bit
a
of
Jenny's Ice Creams here. One of my favorite places for
Jenny's
desserts.
Delicious.
We got Susie Sue. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's another ramen place over there.
We got Grand Champion Barbecue.
Yala is one of my favorite of the places.
There's a candy store in here, too.
Oh, yeah.
Then we got a space under construction.
Yeah.
Fred's Meat and Bread.
Alton Brown said it's the best.
Meat and Bread is good.
Alton Brown says it's the best Philly cheesesteak in America. Alton Brown.
Really?
I mean, he's from Atlanta.
I know. I don't
so
know
maybe he's a little.
Little. He's somebody who's qualified to talk about food.
He's more qualified than we are, for sure.
100%. So, yeah, and like to crown it all off, right at the front here, you've got the Hop City kind of beer bar.
Right. Which is nice.
35 beers on tap.
I like any place where you can just get food from wherever and then go grab a beer from a bar.
Right.
And take it like a huge selection of good craft beers.
Agreed.
And then the seating is like cafeteria style, long tables.
Yep.
There's a few like standing bars. Yeah.
Not a ton of seating for the amount of food options.
If you come here on the weekend, especially with a group, you usually end up having to like go sit on the stairs or something.
I would say that. Like,
or
it
standing.
Does get very packed out on the weekends here. So if you do come on the weekends, like it is definitely better to get here early or to just plan on standing or eating like out on the curb or something like that.
Yeah.
So come on a nice day when you can just get food and walk along the Beltline.
Yeah, even now it's pretty packed. I mean, there's some seats available, but it's definitely limited. You got to cut it.
I would describe it as pretty.
Well, it's for a weekday at noon.
Wednesday afternoon at like 2:30. No, it's not even 2 o'clock yet.
1:30-ish.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's busy at least. We'll say that. It stayed busy too. Like I remember this place first opened. When did you say it?
Oh, it's always been really well regarded. Ever since it started, it's been the place to come.
It's never really lost its sort of like hip appeal.
Well, because that's right. Because you mentioned we've got all the food stalls here. Plus, we walked past Ticonderoga Club.
Right.
Plus, there's Superica or Superica, like this fancy Mexican place.
Right.
So there's a couple legit restaurants here. So it's not like only casual. You have to take your food and sit at community tables.
I mean, which is
they've
probably
got legit restaurants.
We kind of
nice
called it a glorified food court earlier, but I think that is what makes it so different and what keeps it being a place that hasn't lost its hipness is that it is, you know, quality restaurants
and the variety here.
A variety of different places.
Stuff for anyone.
And it is, it's a hip space. It's definitely a place that when you walk in, like, it's very comforting. It's very, like that guy was saying, it's very warm and friendly feeling when you walk in.
What do you think that guy went to
eat? I don't know. Maybe we'll see him.
He disappeared.
He did.
Well, we did a lap around.
I kind of, like, was pointing the mic at his face.
Kind
of so maybe he got, maybe
that.
He was like, oh.
Yeah.
I think he must have realized what we were doing somewhat. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe he thinks we're writing an article and I was just, like, going to quote him in it.
We're journalists. Clearly. All right, so we've done this lap around. What do you think looks good? What are you going for?
I honestly, my instinct is always to go for Mediterranean, so I'm leaning Yala. But I might hit up ramen if they do vegetarian. I don't know if they do vegetarian ramen, but I do like good vegetarian.
What's the other ramen place?
It's right here, actually. This place with the weird art on the wall.
You piqued my interest with, because this is one of those pitfalls I always fall into is if somebody says, oh, this is the best of this thing.
Yeah.
So when you said Alton Brown said that's the best cheesesteak in the country, I'm like,
Well, I've had that cheesesteak back when I was still eating meat, and I thought it was really good. It's expensive, and I don't know if it's the best I've even had. Woody's
expensive.
Might be better. I think it's like
Woody's
$15 for a full sandwich. just the sandwich.
That is expensive. Yeah. Wait, this isn't a ramen bar?
No. This is not. This is like a salad. I don't know. I thought it was. Oh, wait, right here. No, there's dumplings. Yeah. It's goose. I've had their tofu po' boy here. It's amazing, actually. Szechuan tofu po' boy. Might get that. I would like to try something different, but they have a lot of vegetarian options. Well,
have you ever had bao
there? No, those little, what do you call those sandwiches?
They're little like sweet bun
sandwiches
yeah. kind of things.
Like, yeah, I'm into that.
Really good. I love them.
Do they do tofu vegetarian options?
I don't know. I have to check their menu. Hey, pepper, I haven't tried this place over here that does bao.
It's Korean and Japanese here. It looks like sushi.
Oh yeah, we walked past.
Yeah, I didn't really.
Akimono.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I think that one's newer.
And pizza always sounds good too.
Pizza's always amazing.
We're doing a second lap now because that is the thing about these type of places. It's always sort of like,
if you're indecisive, there's a lot that's
of
the worst.
Yeah, there's a lot of good options.
Where's the bao place?
They got the bar 7. Right here, area? Susie's Bao. Yeah, they have ramen. Not vegetarian, but what's tonkatsu?
Tonkatsu is pork.
Okay. They have wontons.
I mean, you've got
shrimp patty. Yeah. I don't typically go for shrimp. Oh yeah, fried green tomatoes. Mm. And those are sandwiches for $4 each, so you can get a couple options. And they have.
Oh, you have mapo tofu fries.
Oh, what? Think poutine.
Yeah, that's really good.
I think I'm gonna get some from here.
Sounds pretty good.
I'm gonna get a little sandwich and those fries.
Alright. Do that. I'm gonna
mapo tofu fries. Are they vegetarian? The tofu fries, or is it meat gravy?
Their French fries. We have a pork sauce on them and a tofu sauce.
Okay.
I usually suggest people use like our spicy sauce or like a barbecue sauce we use on a barbecue to like add more flavor if you take away pork.
Right.
These bao sandwiches are pretty good.
Is there cheese on them too?
I got them at a Taiwan.
Okay.
It's just a little tofu.
I mean, I like kimchi also. Maybe I'll just get that. And Korean street corn sounds pretty good. What's that like? What's the Korean street corn?
So Hamid right now is having a discussion with the woman about what to get.
Butter,
getting really in-depth about what there is, whether it's vegetarian, what are these options?
I'm going to get,
he's really getting into probably the least interesting part of any food podcast is ordering food, especially with people that are indecisive.
Bows. I'm going to do a fried green tomato.
I guess if I really want this podcast to work, I have to be decisive
and a shrimp
about what
patty.
To get.
What side would you like?
I'll do the fries.
Vegetarian?
Yeah, vegetarian.
Do you want spicy or like regular?
Spicy.
All right. What to get? Got falafel bowls.
Okay.
Keto
wraps. Did you want anything to drink?
No, I want a cup of water, but do you guys have a cup of water? I think they have them over there.
$14.
You have to look a little bit. $10.89
is the total.
Okay. You want that finger to eat in the market?
We're going
to
eat in the market.
You can sign this for me, please.
Absolutely. I was kind of listening to you talk the whole time because I have you in my ear. I had to pull you out at one point because
I
couldn't
trying to mess with you.
Communicate.
I don't know. What to get? I'm so indecisive.
Try the cheesesteak, man.
Okay.
I'm surprised that you haven't had it before.
I've eaten at Fred's Meat and Bread, but I've had the chicken and I think I've had the burger. But I also was tempted because Susie Bao had that spicy wontons that said it was on Creative Loafing's like 100 best dishes.
Yeah, $14 cheesesteak here.
It's pricey.
It is pricey.
You know what? For the sake of the podcast, I'll do it. Hey, I want to get a cheesesteak. Yeah. And yeah, I'll just do the cheesesteak. Is it pretty big?
Yeah, it's it comes in a 9-inch cube.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, you got me?
Yeah.
You may have a name. Order.
Remington.
And are you all going to eat this in the market today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be here.
Total's going to be a 15.
Number 18 of the 50 places to eat in Elizabeth. Is wow. this the only location?
No, so we also have another location in Tech Square.
Oh, okay.
Fifth and Spring Street.
Okay, what, cool. Was the Tech Square location first, or was this one first?
This one first.
This gotcha. One was first. So Fred's is a place that started here. Oh, yeah, sorry. I was leaving it to him like an idiot.
Ooh, are these stickers free?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Say you were a part of a podcast?
Yeah, we're actually recording a podcast right now.
It's about food court type places like this.
Yeah, we're doing kind of like episodes of the different food hall type places around the city and stuff. Foods in the Hall?
Yeah.
This is actually a pilot podcast.
Yeah. It's released under a podcast called Let's Make a Podcast. So it's a bunch of pilots of different shows. Yeah. Okay. So this is a pilot that we're doing right now here. Where Remy's hosting this sort of podcast. I host the larger podcast that we put everything out. It's a confusing process of podcasting.
I I want to start one with a friend of mine, but I just don't know, what to focus our conversations on, and what am I
what you really want the topics to be.
I mean, that's kind of the beautiful thing about podcasting is you just pick something, and it's just an excuse to have a long conversation with friends or whatever. That's what I love about podcasting.
As short as you want.
My podcast in particular embraces the idea of we're just going to do something. Yeah. So that's my card. You can hit me up my email address if you really have an idea you want to do something. I produce a bunch of different podcasts under my label. So,
thank you so much.
Yeah, man, absolutely. What's your name? It's not Fred. Muhammad. Nice to meet you, Michael.
There.
Cool, man.
Good to meet you.
I'm gonna go wait for my food over.
Presumably yours is gonna come out first.
Yeah, presumably.
What did you end up getting? You were having such a long conversation with the
Well, because those tofu fries aren't typically vegetarian.
Oh, really?
They have pork on them, typically. So it is weird, but yeah. But we figured out a way to do them vegetarian on her recommendation.
So you got tofu fries.
I got the fried green tomato and the shrimp patty bao, and then the fries.
Nice.
So I got two. Yeah, those spicy wontons I didn't really look at until now, and now they sound amazing.
I know. Well,
I love kimchi, and it's weird. Like, pineapple apple kimchi sounds really good, but
this
I want to try tofu fries. That's
this
weird.
This is a crippling downside of a food hall, because there's so many options and such
For
a
sure.
good variety.
For sure.
That you really got to kind of know what you want. Or, you got to be decisive to some degree.
You do, and I think, the benefit of it is that, you really can't go too wrong.
No, everything in here is good.
Yeah.
It just feels overwhelming, right? This is a relatively small one, I would say.
Yeah.
Because compared to, Pont City Market...
Right, Pont City
this
Market
is probably a quarter the size of what Pont
when
City
When I go
Market
to Pont City Market, it's always kind of just all right, the first good place that you sort of see, the first thing that you feel like you can eat, go with that, because if you're going to keep walking around, you're just going to make it harder and harder on yourself.
Yeah, so just find something that looks good, pick it, have it.
Yeah, this place, it's not a ton of options. It's just a bunch of good options. Every option sounds pretty good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Eight. You've got roughly 15 options.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, maybe a few more even.
Plus a couple of the
and if
legit
you count
restaurants.
The, yeah, if you
so
count
yeah,
the
if
ones
you come
on
here
the
dinner,
outside.
You've got more options for sure.
Right.
And high-end dining too.
Yeah, that place's menu was very expensive then.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Ticonderoga?
Ticonderoga, yeah.
I don't know what that word means. Well, we've got a minute here while we're waiting for our food, so let's talk about what the history of what this place
used
to be.
Right, you kind of started on it.
Yeah, and then we're joined by that gentleman from Birmingham who built the food hall. So, so one of the cool things about Croc Shoe Market is that it's a renovated building. It's not a newly built building.
Right.
So what it used
to be...
Gives
it a lot of its charm.
Exactly. So, yeah, you've got these high factory ceilings and stuff, maybe, 20 feet?
Yeah, and a lot of exposed sort of... Tin and beams and
So what it used to be was the Atlanta Stoveworks, a former potbelly stove and iron pan factory that opened in 1889.
Crazy. Yep. This is a super old building.
Yep, over 100 years old. So it was really big in the 20s. And then around 1988, it was abandoned, and then it got transformed into offices.
So it was that stove place until 1988? It's a stove factory?
It was a stove factory, but then it says it hit its height in the 20s when it began exporting the 32-box stove that sparked industrial demand and expansion.
Whatever that means.
Sure. I mean, it was a stove in the 20s, so Everybody was buying kitchen appliances.
But it took until 1988 before it was abandoned.
Well, it said after decades and decline was abandoned around 1988.
So it's probably pretty...
So it peaked in the 20s.
Right.
And then steady
big downfall until 1988.
So yeah, it just kind of existed then, so the building was probably here and what have you. But it, and then it also used to be, or I guess part of the own development here used to be Tyler Perry Studios as well.
Thank you. That looks so good.
Oh, that looks so good.
Yeah. I just got my food.
There's nothing better than a visual component to an audio medium.
I'll take a picture and post it on the...
Give a quick description of what this food looks like.
So it's these two little... What do you call them? I'm sorry. Bao?
Like, yeah.
Is that what they're called? The bao?
I don't know what
so they're like. They're like soft dough buns. Folded buns. So almost like a taco.
Yes.
And then they are very just classy looking.
Thank you very much.
And then the fries here have this just crazy looking barbecue. She made them spicy for me. She said you can make them spicy vegetarian. So it's like a spicy looking Korean sauce. And then like a white cream on top and green onions. Yeah, absolutely. We'll get a little. There's a lot of long tables, and if we sit there, I think we would probably annoy people talking about food.
Everybody here is talking about food.
That's a good point. Your sandwich is just a...
So I have a tube wrapped in paper.
Yeah, just a tube
wrapped. To contrast your little cultural festival over here. But to make a fair point, we did not get drinks.
I know. Isn't there that water thing?
There's a little while. Well, there used to be a water thing.
Oh, maybe it doesn't exist anymore.
They took it out.
Well, I guess we'll just be thirsty.
All right, well, there used to be a water thing.
All right, Remy's going to go look for water.
I will get a...
Oh, you want to get a couple beers?
Yeah.
Let's drink some beers.
Nice. Better than day drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when we're working, technically.
It goes well with a... I mean, this could be another component is pairing beer with food.
That's true. I mean, it's not only a separate podcast, but I could talk about it for an hour.
Add it to the list of things we're not qualified to discuss.
Right. I'm
going to
get a raspberry sour.
You have to drink local. Which I think these are all local.
Well, the one I just picked out wasn't, so.
Good. What beer would you recommend to go well with a cheesesteak?
Cheesesteak, man, I would go with that Mexican Empire.
Oh, from
Arches.
Arches, okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, we'll keep going with this game. I got a shrimp patty bao sandwich.
IPA.
I love that. I mean, it's what I drink all the time anyway.
Probably do...
Stick local.
Yeah.
The Hot Atlanta for Monday night.
Okay, I like that. Let's do that.
We've got a Hot Atlanta for Monday night and the Mexican Empire, which I think is a lager from Archer's Brewing down in Tapeville. So
I don't know if I've ever had that brewery. Archer's Brewing?
It's really good. You should go check it out. It's down in Tapeville, so it's like down by the airport. So it's not close around here. So I guess, I mean, we should say just for anybody who cares, like we're more towards the central side of the city. We're in Inman Park.
Yeah, this is pretty central without being downtown.
So, I mean, it's a very popular area. You've got, like, the Beltline runs right next to this place and stuff.
Yeah, you get a lot of people from like, Midtown, people who work in Midtown to come here for lunch and stuff, too. Like, it's not super far from even being in Midtown or downtown. My wife, actually, her office comes here often. I'll get it for you. Thank you, sir.
You want me to close it out for you, brother?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Good looking beer.
Thank you.
Wait, what style is this Mexican Empire? What style is that?
Vienna Lager.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
It's really dark.
It's got a little malt to it, but I think that'll work with the cheesesteak real well.
Really? Thank you.
Yeah, no worries, y'all. Any receipt, brother?
Oh, yeah, a receipt would be good, actually.
Getting some good recommendations here for the beer.
Thank you so much.
I got this Mexican Empire, which is a Vienna lager from Arches Brewing, and Muhammad's got, oh shoot.
Muhammad's got, oh shoot. That's the thing about high tops.
Yeah.
They're always wobbling.
I always kick them, too. So you got the, what, you got Hot Lanta.
I got the Hot Lanta from Monday night.
I feel like there's a whole another podcast I would love to do.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like there's a lot to discuss about just breweries.
So we won't talk about the beer as much, but just to say that's what we've got with our foods.
So I'm excited to dig in this.
I'm unveiling my sandwich, which is a good, you know, it's not like burrito size thickness, but
it is kind of massively long, I'd say.
It is good. The dude said it was a 9-inch roll.
Yeah.
It's always weird unrolling these things because they go all the way to the edge of paper.
Yeah. It's a nice messy sandwich. Like a,
it's like
a Philly
it looks
like
a really
be.
Good mixture of cheese and meat, which I do appreciate. Let me fold this down so you get some of that. Are you trying to get both in one or just yours?
I'm going
to
get mine, I'm going to get yours, and then I'm going to get both of them, and then I'll probably get one of us for the podcast. You know,
all right. Well, I guess I'm going to...
Yours doesn't, you know, it's not the prettiest, yours. Mine, I feel like, is very pretty.
I mean, for a $15 sandwich, it certainly doesn't look like a $15 sandwich.
All right, smile, we'll get everything in here. There you go.
I'm just throwing up as many hand signs as I can think for this
photo. Yeah, all gang signs, scarily.
Oh, you're not in a gang?
No.
Got to get on it.
All right, let's have a toast and then have a bite. Cheers, my friend.
Foods in the hall.
Foods in the hall.
I do like this beer.
I like this beer, too. It's a good one. It's got, like, the right kind of fruitiness where it's not, like, you know, overly fruit-heavy.
Well, that jalapeno is, what, an IPA?
Yeah, it's an IPA, but it's a little juicy, you know, but not like a Tropicalia where you get it. I think I'll start with this fried green tomatoes.
Okay. Mine seems to be primarily meat, cheese, and onions. I don't think there's any peppers or anything.
No, it's classic style right there. And it's, like, really finely shredded meat, too, not like big old hunks. And it's just covered in cheese. I mean, not like, it's definitely liquid cheese, not like a melty piece on top.
This is really good.
Yeah?
I gotta say, this is really good. Like, this is what I want a cheesesteak to be, where it's, like you said, finely shredded.
Right.
It's a very even mixture of meat and cheese, so you get meat and cheese in every bite.
It looks, I don't eat meat, and I think it looks delicious. Oh, I wonder if you can get some.
Let me go see if they have some hot sauce.
Okay.
Because hot sauce is what I feel like I'm missing.
Do you think best in America, like Alton Brown said?
I have no idea.
You ever had a Philly, like, in Philadelphia?
I've never even been to Philly.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to try this.
The last person qualified either.
I'm
going to
try this fried green tomato bowl.
Okay. Yours is way more delicate.
Yes, mine is. I got a very delicate meal.
It looks delicious.
You got a, oh, it's so good.
Hey, like, what flavors are you getting in this?
Well, the tomato is perfect. Like, perfectly tart. The crispness, like the fried, is so good. And then of course this like doughy bread. I don't know what they this
like
bun.
What that is.
It's so good. It's so
it's
like fluffy.
Like a
delicious
bun or like a rice bun or something.
And there's also some sort of white sauce on here and then carrots, interestingly, but I feel everything
right.
about a bowel sandwich is, I'm probably misinformed and pronouncing wrong.
Wasn't it Incredibles 2 that had that short film at the front with like the Asian
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen Incredibles 2?
I don't watch anything really in theaters anymore. Very rarely.
I mean, Pixar, I think, is one of the things that is worth going to see in theaters because...
That's probably true. I just don't film. I don't go to movies in theaters anymore.
Okay.
I saw The Favorite the other night and really enjoyed that.
I still haven't seen that. I've heard a lot about it.
I love that director. This is a food podcast, not a movie podcast.
Well, I'm tying it back because there was a short film before The Incredibles called Bao, where like a woman has a dumpling that she makes, but it's a bao. But I think it was more of a dumpling.
That is so...
But I don't know. Either way,
that is
the short
so
film
delicious.
Is called Bao. If you have a chance to watch it, it's a great animated short. So you're very happy with yours?
I'm very happy with mine. I'm going to try these crazy fries.
Oh, that's right. I was trying to look up what Bao's actually made out of, but all I'm getting is the results for this
well,
short animated film.
It's clearly like a soft doughy bread. I'm curious to see. I mean, it's definitely risen because it's very fluffy.
It's a type of filled bun or bread-like dumpling in various Chinese cuisines. North China.
Oh, wow.
It's a filled steamed bun.
Yeah, it's like a it's like steamed bread, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
But yours isn't like a dumpling that's filled. Yours is more like a sandwich.
Mine's more like a sandwich, which I feel like this is how I mostly see them. Hey, Remy.
What?
Should get some of this hot sauce from Susie Sue's.
Oh, is it?
Delicious. Okay. Very peppery.
All right, we're going to do a fusion thing. I'm getting some hot sauce from Susie Sue's, but I might be out of range of this.
That's all right. I do like talking to you. Oh, you can't hear me, though. I have the headphones. So you're talking to me, and I'm talking to myself. These fries.
Is there any way I could get
pepper
some
sauce on this fries? It's so good. Oh, it's getting hot.
Could you hear me all the way over there?
I could. I was responding to you at first, and then I was like, wait a minute.
I can't hear anything. Dang it. I keep kicking this table. Stupid high tops.
So did you get the hot sauce from Susie Sue's?
Yes.
Nice.
I probably should have gotten some from Susie Sue's and then some from Fred's just to
keep it
have
normal
the variety.
In case you wanted something that wasn't Korean. Here, this last bite of this green tomato. Try that.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah, I mean, then you probably heard me saying, like, that's kind of the nice thing about food halls is just...
Yeah, you can get different things from different places.
Well, you can come back here every day and get something different all the time.
Totally.
So, I mean, it's great, especially if you have a group of people... You want to go out to eat? You have people in from out of town. It's great because there's so many options here. So you try this.
Remy's
the green tomato one.
Yeah, Remy's trying that last bite of the green tomato pal there. Not good.
Ooh, it's so smooth.
Yeah.
I love the textures of it.
Yeah, the crispiness of the tomato with the sauce, and then the softness of the bun. Oh.
Yeah.
How's the hot sauce on the?
I haven't gotten there yet. Put it on my
sandwich. I'm choking because it's very spicy. Pardon me, everybody.
Oh, that does have a kick to it. These fries are so good.
They are. I don't know where the tofu comes in. I wonder if these fries are just sort of completely dressed differently because I wanted them vegetarian.
Well, because she was saying, because you ordered the mapo tofu fries.
Right.
But she said they normally come with a pork gravy and tofu.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought maybe the fries were tofu, but they are not. No. Maybe they are.
I don't think so. I think those are just regular fries.
Yeah, that's potato. I don't know. You know, she was talking a lot to me, but I had you in my ear and I hadn't pulled you out. She was kind of quiet, so I missed a lot of what she was saying. I was like, just make them vegetarian so I can eat them. But these are, it's almost something totally different than I think what originally would have came, but instead it has like this pepper barbecue sauce. I mean, Korean barbecue sauce. Say it's
barbecue
sauce. I don't know.
Really,
I don't know if that's invokes the right idea, but it's a Korean barbecue sauce, like a spicy pepper sauce, and then like this cream and green onions. It's making these fries. It's just so good. Isn't it? Is it good on the sandwich?
It is good.
It's just a really good hot sauce. I'm not even like a big hot sauce connoisseur or anything, but when you get a good pepper one, like just pepper forward, I like that. And I like my problem with hot sauces is usually that they're so vinegary, they're so vinegar forward, like that's the main flavor. Not crazy about that.
It depends on the hot sauce you got.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a huge variety of it.
There is. Typically, like Asian hot sauces are more like this, and this is what I like.
I like a lot of the Mexican hot sauces.
Yeah, I like Cholula. That's all I know.
Cholula is the one a lot of people get. My go-to is always Valentina.
Oh, yeah, that one's good. But still, very vinegary to me.
That one's like, to me, Tabasco is like just very vinegary.
I'm going to try these shrimp cakes now. It has this interesting, what do you think this green, it's almost like pineapple? Is that pineapple?
Like a chutney kind of thing?
Maybe, but it's a huge chunk. I guess I'll find out here in a second.
Did you order? I've got a little takeout menu here from Susie's. You got the shrimp patty?
Yeah.
pickled ginger, mango relish, ginger, and so on. So it's either pickled ginger or mango relish, or a combination of the two.
I'll say I definitely like the green tomato one more, which is kind of surprising, but this is good. The ginger is very overpowering, as ginger can be.
You know, I tried to make a ginger butternut squash soup last night, an instant pot. But I forgot about it and went to sleep. So I woke up this morning and it was all brown.
Really?
Pretty sure it's not supposed to be brown. So, I just got a kick of that hot sauce.
It's good, man. It's like making my nose run, embarrassingly.
That's how you know it's good.
Yeah.
All right, have you been to Philly? Do you know what, like, a Philly cheesesteak is traditionally? Because you said, it's a classic style.
Well, it's supposed to be with cheese whiz, but I think that sort of melted cheese, like when it's cheese sauce, it's better. Whenever it's like shredded cheese or like a slice of cheese, get out of here. Don't care for it.
I mean, the main thing I look for is
I have never had one in Philly, don't get me wrong, but I've had that one and I've had Woody's. I really like Woody's, actually.
Really?
Yeah. You know?
Not as much as this.
I mean, that one might be better. I only had it once, because it's very expensive. I mean, that's the thing.
I'll say, that's
it's a $14 sandwich.
It's a very
sandwich
expensive cheesesteak. I mean, Woody's is what, like $8?
Yeah, I mean, somewhere around there. It's not.
It's a much more reasonably
priced.
Yeah,
it's like a regular price sandwich. Like, even if it's $10, that's $4 cheaper than that.
Yeah. Yeah, but this mixture of meat and cheese is just good. So good.
They know it's good. That's the thing. They're aware.
I mean, but we asked the dude at the register, right? Because this is the first Fred's Meat and Bread. So there's two in the city, but right, this was their first location.
That's really interesting.
And I remember hearing a lot about it when it first opened up, that it was good burgers, good sandwiches. Because I've had their fried chicken sandwich, I think, before.
I just like good fried chicken.
Well, I think that's one of the things for me. Fried chicken is great because you have these aspects of food that we're eating here. I'm eating, you know, I guess an American-style food. You're eating, what, Chinese?
Korean, I think.
I mean, bao is like, Wikipedia said bao is a Chinese food. From a Korean, Chinese,
there's a
Asian
lot of kimchi
food
on the menu. That's food, the only okay reason I said
bao.
Well,
it's all-encompassing Asian.
Yeah.
So, you've got a variety of, like, food cultures here and stuff, and America is known for kind of fusioning and Frankensteining food cultures and stuff like that. And
Asian-American food is all kind of a combination, like you were saying, like, most places don't do strictly Korean food or strictly Japanese
food. Well, especially
food,
traditional stuff, because you have a lot of things. I mean, like, for instance, in sushi, the California roll, not a thing.
Well, most of...
In Japan.
Well, our, like, takeout Chinese restaurants that are very big here where we live, and I'm assuming for most of the part of the world, that's not even close to traditional. That is American food that the Chinese immigrants
very
created.
Americanized stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of traditional foods that have been Americanized that have kind of come into their own as different things, where you have things like Chicago pizza and cheesesteaks and what have you. So rude of me to be talking while eating. I feel like it's an audio podcast. I have to.
Yeah, I've been eating very much slower than I usually do. You're almost finished with your sandwich.
I'm trying. You've been talking a bit, so I've been taking advantage of those times. But what I wanted to say is that all the fusion we have here and everything, to me, one of the most quintessential, you're about to eat a toothpick, just so you know.
Thank you. I'm excited about food.
One of the most quintessential, I think, American food dishes, as far as our contribution culinarily to the world, would be Southern food. So, I mean, for me, like, they have fried chicken in other places, obviously. It's very big in Korea. But for me, Southern food, fried chicken, collard greens, mac and cheese, black eyed peas, like a lot of this fare that is much more common in the South, I think is the most uniquely American type of food you can have.
I think it's weird that Southern food hasn't blown up in other parts of America.
I do too.
I meant to save you a bite of that shrimp and I ate the whole thing, I just realized.
Not at all.
It wasn't as good as the tomato, so.
That tomato one was good.
It was real good. I'd get two of those next time. These fries maybe are my favorite part of the meal.
Those fries are excellent. I mean, you could do a whole fry podcast on this.
That's true.
Fries vary so rude of me. Fries vary so much.
Fries are one of my favorite foods. I love French fries.
It's probably, it's such an incredibly simple and common thing. But yeah, I mean, it can vary a lot from place to place.
I don't usually like toppings on my French fries, actually. I usually prefer my fries plain.
Really?
Yeah, but this is amazing. I think the trick is you have to get a real crisp fry. They have definitely a crisp fry.
Well, because there's another place that's a Korean place that has fries I really like. I don't know if it's the breading they use or the oil or whatever.
Yeah, it's almost like...
it's a very nice crisp crunch, but it doesn't feel...
It's almost heavy. like breadcrumbs or panko or something on there. I mean, I don't think it is. I think that'd be a little bit more noticeable.
Using fancy food terms.
But that is how these fries feel. It's like there's a shell around the potato rather than it just being this sort of...
It doesn't
lint
just
mess.
Feel like a deep-fried hunk of
right,
potato.
Right.
Like it feels like a wrapped kind of crisp thing.
American classic Philadelphia Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Yeah.
I got this Asian Korean sort of food with fries, which is definitely an American food.
Right.
Then we both got beers from a bar, both local beers from Atlanta or around Atlanta. I mean, this is what you get with these food halls.
Yeah, it's kind of like a great experiment of kind of like what American dining is, because you have so much variety, a lot of influences from different food cultures and stuff.
Right.
That all mixes together very well and kind of has good harmony with it.
And, you know, again, compared to...
I don't know if there's anything more pretentious than trying to add harmony into a food podcast.
I will say, though, it's a big difference than, like, when we were... I mean, when I was a teenager, I ate at the food court mall, or at the mall food court a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And,
this is for
and
adults.
Yeah, this is... It's sort of similar in concept, but you get so much more by, weirdly, using your term, adding that harmony to it. But you get so much more by being like, well, there's different foods from, you know, different styles across... It's not just Subway, Taco Bell. It's not just fast food restaurants, you know?
Yeah.
You get quality food for a price, by the way, not too much more. I mean, your sandwich was 15. This was 11 bucks for the fries and the two sandwiches.
Yeah.
You could do that at McDonald's. You could spend $11 at McDonald's all month, you know.
Really?
I mean, probably.
When I go to Taco Bell, I
like Taco Bell and I'll go on occasion. They do good vegetarian options, weirdly, because you can just get beans. But I spend usually like $8 or $9. The other day, I went to Burger King because they have a veggie burger. Not very good, but I was curious. I got that and a small fry. It was $7.50. I mean, when you're talking about that extra $3 for the meal I ate today, it's insane.
I mean, especially if you're able to support local restaurants, local residents and businesses and things.
Right.
Like, I mean, yeah, if you're really stretched for cash, I understand that.
Totally.
I mean, for a lot of us living in the city and things, you can afford it. I think a lot of people like that local aspect of things.
Well, and I think a lot of people, me included, I think, like, well, I need to save money, I'll just grab Taco Bell. Or even, like, a frozen pizza or something.
Right.
What I'm saying is that, like, yeah, I am saving money, but it's usually, like, $2 or $3 when I could be eating stuff like this, you know?
I mean, granted, I know that stuff adds up over time.
Sure.
But, I mean, if you can, if you're able to... Go out less often.
Yeah.
And go to like a local place where you're getting unique quality stuff. I mean, even unique stuff. But I mean, I would say the quality of my food I think was really good. Like the meat was good, the cheese was good, but it was probably super like processed cheese because whatever, that's how you make a Philly cheesesteak. But it was very delicious.
Granted,
I don't think I would pay $15 for this very often.
I mean, that's the problem with that sandwich in particular.
You can easily cross that line of like, all right, this is ridiculous.
Right.
You know, but there are a lot of options that are affordable and stuff. You know, I mean, here you've got, like, the place you ate at had ramen for $10.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah,
you get ramen
for
$10.
I mean, those bowls are $4 each. It's not bad. If you're looking for a small lunch, you could get one sandwich, gulp it down, and be on the way. Be on your way.
Yep. I mean, you've got fried chicken, you've got barbecue here, you've got sushi and stuff, as well as a pho place that looked really good.
But I was going to say, are you getting up to do something?
Get dessert?
Get dessert?
That's what I'm doing.
You were going to get, what are you going to get? Denny's?
I'm definitely getting Denny's. I don't know if I'm going to get a milkshake or not, though. I don't know if I need a whole milkshake.
I'm sure my mic is like crackling like crazy right now. I'm sure it is, but that's
you
okay.
Move, it starts like.
Yeah, we're all mobile today, so. Remy is wireless, which is why he was able to walk away from me a couple of times.
I know.
Oh, thank you for getting my trash. I realized I just like let you pick it up without me.
Recyclable. It's all going in the trash.
I mean, honestly, if it has food waste on it, I don't think any of it's recyclable. Like, you have to wash.
Paper menu's recyclable?
Probably, yeah.
Why am I stealing this beer glass that's empty? I think I dropped
it. Put it right here. Put it with the trays.
I'll meet you at Jenny's.
All right. Whew. Man, my mouth is just on fire from that spicy sauce. Again, I'm not a person who is like crazy about spicy, but that pepper sauce was so good.
Cheesesteak. Doesn't seem like a cheesesteak should cost that much.
Remy's talking about whatever Remy's talking about.
Yeah, it's good, but heaven.
Don't talk to me. I'm trying to respond to you.
I'm talking to myself.
What was on those fries again? Will you tell me? The white stuff was whipped tofu sauce.
Yeah.
What is that? What's whipped tofu sauce?
It's probably just like literally whipped.
It's really tasty, but I didn't know. And then that hot sauce was the best hot sauce I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Oh shoot, they have the Impossible Burger.
But yeah, it's usually what goes on the Impossible Spicy Burger, but I just put it on the fries.
Oh really?
Don't have meat.
So how do they usually come?
With the meat sauce.
In the tofu sauce? Because I was confused. I was like, why are these tofu fries? I couldn't figure it out. I was like, well, maybe when I got a vegetarian, we lost the tofu. So it normally comes with like a pork sauce.
Yeah.
And then the tofu sauce. That's interesting.
Can I try the gooey butter cake?
Jenny's is they're not local, I don't believe, actually. But they are a sort of
anything cream
ice cream
based
place with a lot of cool flavors.
Yes.
Where did Jenny start?
Columbus, Ohio.
No kidding. Okay.
I take back what I said about local
places.
Yeah. But good. I actually heard owner or the founder on a podcast how I made this once. She was fascinating.
Let's see. Can I try the Bangkok peanut?
Remember, he's trying a lot of flavors.
I think this is our most interesting flavor.
Bangkok peanut? Could I?
A pad thai inspired ice cream?
Could I try that too?
Well, that is very interesting. I will say that. He said it's pad thai inspired. You do get a little bit of that. Like, you get the peanut flavor for sure.
Yeah.
And a little bit of the, like, seasoning, I guess, that would be in a pad thai. Yeah.
Wow.
It's really interesting.
It's good, too.
Okay.
Coconutty, right?
Yeah.
I would say coconut more than peanut.
I get the coconut at the back.
Can I try
the brandy banana brulee?
May I as well?
Yeah.
We'll keep us together. This is a limited edition flavor, and I do love banana.
It's kind of like a banana foster vibe.
Ooh, I love that.
Brandy in there, something
terrible. Banana foster, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Okay, cool.
That's super good.
I know what I'm getting. I'm going to take 2 scoops. Gooey butter cake and brandy banana brulee.
You want a cup or cone set?
Cup. I'm not good with cones.
Oh, man, I love their waffle cones.
I mean, the waffle cones are delicious, but I have a debilitating problem where every time I have a cone, it gets all over my hand. I seem to be incapable of eating it fast enough. So, I've learned in my many years to
go with a cone. I'm a cone guy.
Oh, look at that. I even get a waffle cone.
Oh, what?
Cool.
I'm going to do a scoop of, I'll just do a cone. The brandy banana brulee and the brown butter almond brittle. I'll do the waffle.
How many different flavors do they have here?
We've got a few. I always get one scoop of the brown butter almond brittle. It's my favorite ice cream, I think, in the world. Yes, it's my all-time favorite. Like, I don't think I've ever had a Ben & Jerry's or a Baskin Robbins better than that specific flavor. But I do try to always get something different and new. I was actually leaning towards that Bangkok peanut, but that brandied banana.
I've had this cream puff one, which is really interesting.
I usually get something new every time. Delicious. I think I've had, maybe I've only tried the cream puff, but yeah. Thank you, sir.
I mean, you've got like at least 10, 12 different flavors, right?
Are these going to be separate or together?
Together.
You getting the dessert?
Yeah, I got dessert.
Thank you, buddy.
Desserts on me. Yes, not a problem.
This is really nice tipping, cooling on my mouth after that pepper sauce that I can't stop talking about. You know,
it's
like,
Lucky Eights.
What's that?
It's Lucky Eights.
What's Lucky Eights?
Hmm? The dude who just walked past us is Lucky Eights from Archer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He probably looked right at me because I said that real loud in his
voice. Get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh. He's from Detroit.
Really?
A few facts I know about Lucky. Oh, and that's Amber Nash.
Well, she did an Epic Briefs podcast, which I was just on. And they were just on this podcast.
Who was on what?
Epic Briefs podcast is a podcast my friend Claudius hosts, co-hosts with a few other people. And she was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did their podcast, and they just did Let's Make a Podcast. Their episode will probably come out right before this one, actually.
Is this good audio listening to me chew a waffle cone?
Yeah, probably.
Does it sound as loud as it
I'm
does
surprised you could recognize it by face. I wouldn't have done that at all.
Well, they're both also improv performers.
That's Grog, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Wait, who's Johnny Depp married to? Amber and...
It's not anymore. Not her. It's
I know.
I didn't mean that rudely.
I keep getting
she's
them confused.
We hang out with it.
Which one's Amber Heard? Which one's Amber Nash?
Amber Nash is the Archer.
Amber
Heard must be his ex-wife, divorced. And I think he like beat her and was abusive. Yeah.
I mean, he's a creepy dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't grow up to be Johnny Depp and you don't suck. Like, that's just... You can't.
This ice cream is outstanding.
It really is.
It's freaking phenomenal.
What was the other flavor you got? We both got the banana brulee.
I got banana brulee. There was a third word in there. I can't remember what it was.
Right.
And then I got the gooey butter cream.
Have you ever had the almond brittle? It's the best.
No. I'm not a brittle fan, really.
Are you an almond fan?
No, not really.
Like the sweetness, like almond candy and stuff. Almond flavored candy.
Nut flavored things, I'm not really as big.
Really?
The thing he got me with the gooey butter was because he said it's cream cheese flavored. And cheesecake is my ultimate dessert.
Really?
That's my number one dessert.
My wife, Sam, friend of the podcast, likes cheesecake, hates homemade cheesecake. I enjoy making cheesecake, but I never do it anymore because she doesn't like it.
Wow. Why does she hate homemade cheesecake?
She just thinks that she likes like store-bought cheesecake. Yeah. I don't know. Says something about the texture I can never get right. I feel like if I could get it right, maybe she'd like it, but she acts like there's no way. It's just...
I mean, there's a recipe to make it. I've made all the things of cheesecake all over. It's so cold right. I God help those people who just like take frozen things and bite into them directly.
Like me? With ice cream?
Yes, like you.
I chew my ice cream.
No, I am not one of those people. Like
I can't just lick. I get impatient.
This is my problem with cones. I can't just lick it because I can't bite it.
Well, you're basically biting it.
I'm not using my teeth is the thing. I'm using a spoon and like a horse just kind of like.
Oh, do you have the sensitive teeth thing?
Yeah. Or sensitive gums or something. Either way, it makes my insides hurt when I see people bite frozen things.
Can't help myself.
Watching my grandmother eat dessert is painful.
Have you ever had Little Tart Bake Shop? I think they just opened up another location, by the way.
Yeah,
it'd be their third.
Because this is like their third location.
I think they might have just opened up their third. This would be their second.
Oh, this one is?
Their first was the one that they share with Octane. Or whatever it's called now.
In Grand Park, yes.
Right next to my house, which I still go to quite a bit. Because I love Little Tart.
I mean,
I love baked pastries.
It's an establishment in the city for sure.
I'm just chewing my ice cream.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that.
Biting my head.
I was not blessed with gum strength. So I'm cursed to eat my ice cream like a cow.
There's a real hip vibe to Croc Street, Tim. I like it. I will say we went to that.
I like it though because it's a very casual vibe. Like you see families here, you see younger people, you see older people. People are here for business meetings. People are here having beers for lunch like us.
Like I think that...
Like it's an everyman kind of place.
Yeah, and a place like this is right on the verge of being pretentious. You know what I mean? Like it feels like just a description you would think it would be a little bit more pretentious, but it's really not. It feels very cool and friendly. Again, friendly, like you said, there's families here. There's like it doesn't feel lame.
It's got that hipster vibe for sure.
But it feels earned.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's in a 100-year-old building, you know? It's funny like that, though. Like, if this was a place built specifically for this, it'd probably feel a lot more lame.
I don't really know what else there is to say about this place. I think we've pretty much covered it. It's got a little bit of something for everybody here.
We picked two of the probably... Well, I don't know if it was the best food that we could get here or...
I think it's hard to say because it really just depends on what you want. And I haven't. You know?
I'm all cone right now, so I'm just crunching in the microphone.
I know, I'm sure you are. Well, I'll go ahead. I think this is as good a place as any to end it. All right, we've had some good food. We had some good beers and stuff. I'm very full.
We've enjoyed the atmosphere.
Yeah.
We're standing right next to a couple of celebrities.
Yeah, some of the cast from Archer, voice cast, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, again, it just kind of goes to illustrate the point that everybody comes here.
Yep, there's also babies and
like you've got families working right next to us. Doing work. You've got people just having, you know, they're
meeting up. People getting drunk at the bar.
Yeah. It's
good. The bar crowd looks like a serious, like, day drunk kind of crowd right now. So.
People who are just sitting there because they have nothing else to do.
It was a good time, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad you come out. We'll do it again sometime.
I would
hope
so. We
got more places to hit.
I hope so.
Oh, you're spilling food. Can't take you anywhere.
I do feel like I kept my composure eating and talking up until the end. And now I'm just a mess.
The curse of the cone.
I got food all over me. I've been like talking with my mouth full. I just dropped my napkin.
I got them.
Thank you. All right. We'll be right back with Let's Be Podcast. Remy, thank you for coming back on our podcast. That was so much fun.
Yeah, it was good.
My first ever mobile podcast. Going
it was mainly just a ploy for me to get a free lunch.
It was fun, man. I mean, I always like having meals with you, so.
Going out to eat is fun. Like, it's a good social experiment for real. Time and stuff. Like, because going out, like, I go out and I eat, I try a lot of places, but there's a very significant difference in your experience dining alone versus with people.
Right.
And I think food is really should be kind of a more shared social thing.
I think so, too. I mean, I think that meals, I always grew up having family meals every night of the week, and I think that it's probably the best place for a conversation, you know, is just over a meal. That or podcasting, but not everybody's making a podcast. So.
No, yeah, it's just, these days.
Yeah, right. But it's just nice to be able to sit down over some like nice food and talk with a friend. So.
And again, I think that's one of the strengths of these types of places that are popping up, food halls, food markets, is that it is a more adult level food court cafeteria style thing for you to go get really good food, local stuff, to be able to get a beer and hang out with your friends like you would at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But in a much more social community style.
Well, and the way that a place like that is set up too, it does feel a lot more like a sort of high school cafeteria or something where it doesn't feel as, you know, I think sometimes when you sit down at a restaurant, you have a waiter. I mean, I enjoy that experience, fine or whatever, but but it does make you feel a little bit more put upon. There's a little bit more of like, you know, everybody's kind of bullshitting when you have a waiter. It's like, this is the role that we're playing right now.
Because of tips.
Yeah, well, because of tips and just because of restaurant.
Just the way our dining culture works here.
Rules and stuff.
The expectations between you and the waiter.
Like,
and
hey, how are you? Oh, these are the specials. I mean, I'm not. I really enjoy that in some degree, but it is definitely a put upon act that you're doing. Yeah. In a place like this, everybody just sort of gets their food. They're talking to their friends. Sometimes you get people crossing over and talking to each other. Mm-hmm. We had a gentleman that interrupted us and started talking with us. That was cool.
Joined our conversation on the way in.
I mean, that's cool. I'm into that, you know.
And chatted with
it's very real.
Some of the cashiers at the places and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it kind of, I think, really emphasizes that social aspect of dining, which I like.
I do too.
You know, so yeah, it was a good outing. I'm glad you were able to come with me on this journey.
Well, if you want to do another one, I'd love to do it again.
Oh, there's loads more in the city.
I know, right?
You got the newer ones, like renovated stuff, like Croc Street Market with Pond City Market, and then there's older, like neighborhood style places that have been here for a long time. Like if you go to Sweet Auburn Market,
sure, yeah.
Or if you go to H Mart or Buford Highway Farmers Market,
yeah,
that has
that'd be
food
fun.
Stalls in
oh,
there.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
You've got like a lot of these little places around. You know, some old, some new, some very like kind of foreign, diverse food, and then some just, you know, kind of like Sweet Auburn's a lot more just kind of American fare, a lot of Southern comfort style stuff.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot to try, so let's hit some up.
All right, man. Well, thanks again for coming on. This was a great time.
My pleasure. Best friend.
Best friend. That was a high five, everybody. Thanks for listening.
What
do you have
you
anything
think,
you want to...
What do you think they thought that sounded like?
I slapped you. Best friend. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Nope.
Okay. No shorts.
Nope.
No films.
Nothing at the moment.
Okay.
I got nothing exciting. We're just working on getting into this Year of the Pig and...
I think that we might have already released by this time a few episodes of my other podcast that I co-host with Jay Howell, My High School iPod. So if you haven't heard that, we have musicians and friends of ours on to talk about music that they listened to in high school and listen to it again and see sort of how it compares and then compare it to stuff that we're listening to now. It's a really interesting podcast. I definitely recommend checking it out if you're a fan of this. And if you aren't subscribed and you just listened to this episode, go ahead and subscribe, man, and share the podcast with your friends. Help get the word out. It's been really cool recording again season two, and I'd like to keep on doing it for as long as possible. And the more people who listen, the better it is for us on our end. So,
and leave a review.
Yes, that
but
was
specifically leave a good one.
Leave a good review and talk about Remy in it. Thanks everybody for listening, and Remy, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And to everybody out there, I love you. Goodbye.